A very good morning to you, my dear listener. Very good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome back from the weekend. So how was your weekend? What did you do over the weekend? How did you spend your weekend? Did you rest? I always ask you to rest. It's in my profession to ask people to relax, you know, have time to yourself, take care of yourself. And as I always said, you know, when you come back on Monday, you're really, really, you know, reinvigorated, you know, you're full of oomph, you know, vuma, and you're ready to take on a new week. Yes, it's a new week with a new challenge. And with challenge, especially challenge, you know, to build this country, challenge to take this country somewhere, you know, where we want to be, the Namibia we want. Okay. So not the Africa we want, you know, we start with the Namibia we want. Okay. And that's where we start. And, it cannot be done by lazy people. It cannot be done by, people who are not committed. So, yeah. So it's a Monday morning. We're almost right in the middle of the month. So 16th of March. And, good morning. Good morning and welcome. And thanks for joining us this morning. Thank you, David, for handing over the mic, to us here, to the big mic on this side of the world. We're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. And I'm inviting you to join me as you normally do. So this is Unpacking the Day. And my name is Mike Oshavedi. And this is your daily dose of what is going on, of what is really going on in terms of business news, economic news, and political news. So every weekday, we come through the noise. We cut through the noise. To make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always, always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying, and making sure that we spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of this bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, welcome, welcome. You are just right on time, and thanks for just joining us at this point in time. It's always our pleasure to be in your company. So what do we do every morning before we get into the day? We look at on this day in Africa, what happened on this day in Africa. And good morning, Africa, and welcome to On This Day in Africa. And today we're looking back at the 16th of March, a date that has shaped the continent in many different ways. So let's start by going back to 1984. On this day, two leaders sat down to sign a peace deal that caught the world's attention. So South African President P.W. Botha and Mozambique's President Samora Machel put their names to what became Komati Accord. Now, what is this agreement about? It was a promise. A promise both sides agreed to stop fighting each other through proxy groups. South Africa said it would stop supporting Renamo rebels who were causing trouble in Mozambique. In return, Mozambique promised to stop letting groups like the African National Congress use its land as a base for attacks on South Africa. So this was a big moment. It was a big moment. Remember, this was during the Cold War. So when the world was divided into two camps, and Southern Africa was caught in the middle. So many saw this accord as a chance to bring some calm to a troubled region at that time. Moving on to a much sadder chapter in our history. So on this day in 2010, Uganda woke up to heartbreaking news, you know. The Kasubi tombs, a sacred place recognized, it's also recognized by the UNESCO as a World Heritage site, has been destroyed by fire. Those who may not know the Kasubi tombs were not just any building. They were the final resting places of several kings of the Buganda kingdoms. Now, generations of Ugandans had visited this site to honor their ancestors and connect with their history. So when the fire broke out, so it didn't just burn grass and wood, you know, it burned the soul of people. So across Uganda, there was deep sorrow. But from the ashes came a determination. Effort began almost immediately to rebuild what had been lost, to make sure a future generation could still learn about and take pride in this rich cultural heritage. And finally, we turn to a more recent and painful memory. On this day in 2016, a mosque in Maiduguri is in Nigeria. That's nice. Maiduguri is it's a mosque in Maiduguri, Nigeria, became the scene of a terrible attack. Two female suicide bombers walked in and detonated their explosives. More than 20 people lost their lives, and many more were injured. So the attack was claimed by Boko Haram. You remember Boko Haram, the military group that had been terrorizing community across northeastern Nigeria for years. So this was not an isolated incident. It was part of a long and painful conflict that has displaced millions and left countless families grieving in that region. So we remember the victim today, and we stand with all those who continue to work for peace in that region. So, and that's our look at March 16 in African history. And thank you for joining me on this day in Africa. So, welcome. So, and if you missed that, you missed part of our history, but you haven't missed anything yet. I haven't finished much yet. So, but let's start on with a positive note, okay? What is our thought for the day today? So a good leader is not known by the crown he wears, but by the burden he bears. So a good leader is not known by the crown he wears, but by the burden he bears. So the Proverbs highlight the idea that true leadership is measured not by titles, or status, or symbols of power, but by the responsibility and challenges a leader willingly takes on for the benefit of others. So, in a sense, the proverb emphasizes that leadership is about action, it's about responsibility and service, not just a status or authority. So, now, each one of us, you are a leader by your own right. So you are a leader by your own right. And, you know, so whatever decision and choices you make today, make sure that, you know, you take it, you know, you willingly take it on behalf, and for the benefit of others. So that's the thought for the day. And, hopefully it guides our decisions and to say the choices that we make throughout the day today. Good morning and welcome. So, ten minutes past the hour of eight, and thanks for joining us. Thanks for coming on board. And what do we have on the menu this morning? What are we going to, you know, what are we going to discuss? What are the issues? What are the news? Now, on our front page, the front page of today's edition of the villages. Well, there's a story that looking at Namibia stands on the brink of an economic transformation, with 2026, you know, 2026 set to be the year that define its oil future through the key final investment decision on the, we have that promising, you know, discoveries, the Mopane and Venus. So, yeah, we're going to look at that. We're going to look at that story. And also, there's also a story that if we have time that we're going to look at, well, it's the ECB. It's prioritizing energy diversification. Of course, you heard that a couple of many times. So as a critical intervention to lower electricity costs and achieve national energy independence in Namibia. So that's another story we can look at. And also, if we have time, as I said, we have so plenty. It's just for you to choose. Namibia is agreeing to retain only a 30% share in a critical desalination plant. Now, while a Chinese state-owned firm controls 70%. So, and that has not been received well. So, and it has been condemned by political leaders as a dangerous privatization of the nation's water supply. So, if we have time, that's also a story that we can look at. So, your participation will also be part of the show. You are part of the show. So make sure that you follow, we unpack this together. So when we come back, we get into our first story of the day.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Shikao shafa sana nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seisa nina omayakudo ni randitoma yoe, yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwa shipareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahe tatuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace. I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
That's right. This is Eagle FM. If you're just joining us and this is your number one talk radio stations in the land of the brave. So welcome. And yeah, let's get back after this as well.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know. You love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
Well, that's right. The U in UNAM is always you. All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And a very good morning. Good morning if you're just joining us and you're listening to Unpacking the Day. And I'm glad you are with us this morning. You are with us this morning because today we are unpacking a report on Namibia's oil and gas industry. And specifically, why the year 2026 could be the most important year in this country's economic history. So that's, and it's the front page, that it is the front page story of our today's edition of The Villager by Ngino Menmavali Hangala. So read that story in the Villager. So make sure you subscribe as well. You make sure you subscribe for a free copy, for your free digital copy of the Villagers. So what you have to do is just send a WhatsApp message to this number, 081-241-44, and maybe just say subscribe. Just your name and your email address, and voila, you are subscribed. Okay, that's all what you need to do. Nothing. If you have a smartphone, that's all what you need to do. Yeah, and you will be receiving your copy, your digital copy of the e-newspaper, The Villager, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you know you don't miss your Wednesday. Subscribe today, right now, as you listen to me. Just do that now, right now. Okay. All right. So that's the story we are unpacking. And you know, normally here I don't read the story to give you now the whole, you know, what is the story about. But I give you a background. Let me start with some context, because I don't go through the story word by word. But let me give you a context to what we are unpacking. You know, now a few years ago, Namibia was not on the global oil map. We were not on the global oil map. Well, we had diamond mines and fishing. Yeah, well, that also put us on the map. Maybe we are known for our beef and what else? Tourism. Those are good things, but not transformational things. You know, they are good things, but not really transformational. You know, when we're talking really something that is very transformational, that make everybody pay attention. You know, so then in February 2022, a French oil giant called Total Energies drilled a well about 300 kilometer off the coast of Lüderitz. Now, in water, nearly, we're now deep in the water. Now it's nearly about 3 kilometer deep. Said these people go far, man. You know, 3 kilometers deep. Yeah. So. Yeah, and hit what analysts now, this is now when they dig deep down there, they hit what the analysts would later describe as one of the most significant offshore, you know, oil discoveries in Africa in decades. That's, you know, from the Extractor magazines, this was one of the, you know, significant offshore oil discovery in Africa in decades. And they call it Venice. They call it Venice. And shortly after that, so that was called now Venice. And shortly after that, a Portuguese company called Gap Energia, just Gap Energia, then the Portuguese, like, you know, yeah, Gap Energia announced another massive find. This one was called Mopane. So, with early estimate suggesting it could hold at least 10 billion barrel of oil in the ground. 10 billion barrel. Well, I can only emphasize that 10 billion barrel, but I don't know how much that is actually. So, but listening to what people say, those who know the stuff, they think that's quite a lot of oil, okay, in our ground. Now, for context, they say that that single block, I think at one point in Reuters, and Reuters agency, they say that that single block might contain so much oil that it could exceed the total confirmed oil reserves of some countries. Yeah? So, and you know what? Suddenly, the world was looking at Namibia differently. They were looking at us differently. Yeah? And so we should. Now, it's like this. It's like a lady. Now, you know this guy who won the 1 point something million playing the, what is that? Sport bet? I don't know what which one. So he won about 1.2 or something like that recently, I think last week or so, a week before. So, okay, I'm not saying he wasn't known anyway. So, but he was just an ordinary guy who paid, I mean, he only played with $1. So he was just an ordinary guy. But now, just because he won 1.7, now probably even families that never called him, there are a lot of people now who are paying, even business people probably paying attention. Okay, there could be some money that he can invest in what and what. So now they are paying attention to this guy. It's more like the same, you know. Namibia now, you know, because of these discoveries and the kind of the amount of oil that are found in this, you know, now the world is now paying attention. They are looking at Namibia now differently. So they are admiring now this beautiful ladies or a handsome guy, you know. And so we should also admire ourselves in this way. All right. Now, let's be clear about something important at the very beginning. Okay. As I said, follow the story, read the story. You get more on the story, but let's be clear about something very, very, very important. Now, finding oil is not the same as producing. Okay, most of you who are listening, who are regular listeners of this show, you probably know that. Okay, so finding oil is not the same as producing oil. Between discovery and the first barrel flowing to market, there's a massive, expensive, complicated bridge to cross. Okay, let me call it a bridge. There's that bridge we need to cross. That bridge is called the final investment decision, the FID. Yep, that's the bridge. Between now, you know, there's a discovery. We have done discovery. But now, the first barrel now flowing to the market, you know, to the market. So there is that bridge. So, and that bridge, we call it, you know, it's called the final investment decision. And this is what the FID, okay? And this is what the story is all about. Now, think of it this way, okay? I hope it makes sense. Imagine you discover your field has gold on it, okay? Your field has gold on it. You know it is there. You can see it. You have tested it. You can test the gold. You have tested it, but before you can dig it up, okay? Now, before you can dig it up and sell it, you need to build roads, okay? You need to build roads. You need to hire workers. You have to buy machineries, and invest, you know, invest tens of million of dollars, okay? Before you even produce them, that's how the things, there are a lot of other things that you need to do. Now, so the moment you sign the paper and say, yes, let's build all of this, okay? The moment you sign the paper and say, yes, let's build all this, that is your final investment decision. That's now your final investment decision. And for Namibia, two crown jewels, Mopane and Venice, those decisions have not yet been made. So that decision hasn't been made yet. So the company are still studying, planning, appraising, okay, whatever those words mean. And this year, that's why we say this year is the year, 2026. So it may actually just change how, you know, Namibia will look in the future. So this year, 2026, is when we expect now both the final investment decisions to be made. And that is the story we are unpacking this morning. All right, let's bring you where we are now. Okay, so now let's look at each of these. Okay, let's look at Mopane first of all. Okay, the giant in the north. Okay, let's talk about Mopane first. The partner here are Galp Energia, Total Energies, which recently took over as the operator of this block. Now, our own national oil company, NAMCOR, and a local firm called Kustos, okay, Nos Kaskas, okay, Nankarundra Kaskas, over and Kaskas Angura Damchokunoma Hori, not Kaskas, it's Kustos, okay, it's Kaskas Angura. All right. So then there's also a local firm called Kustos. Okay. So what does, so you mentioned about that swap. So the swap, what does the swap mean actually? Total Energies is a stepping in as an operator. So it means one of the world's largest and most powerful energy companies is now steering this, you know, it's now steering this ship. So that gives Mopane some, you know, some muscles, more credibility, and also more financial power. More financial firepower. So, yeah, but my dear listeners, it also raises a question. Okay? It also raises a question. Now, when a giant takes the wheel, like Total Energies, now who is checking that our national interest stays protected? You remember what we were talking about last week? So in terms of gold, remember what we were talking about last in terms of gold? Yeah, and yeah. So now, who is checking our national interest, you know, who's checking that our national interest actually stay protected when now you have this, you know. So now the Mopane well has already shown impressive result. They have already shown during the testing, it flowed, you know, oil at, it flowed oil at up to 14. This is now 14,000 barrel per day. So that's how much that they will actually, you know, the oil will per day to be about 14,000 barrel per day. So hitting the maximum the test equipment could it handle, you know? So three more wells are planned this year to further actually unlock what is down there, you know? So still hopeful for three more. So now the development plan involves building what they call floating production, storage and offloading vessels. Now, when I looked that up, it's the, in abbreviation, FPSO, you know. So it kind of a floating oil factory, you know, a floating oil factory sitting out at sea, you know, processing oil before it gets shipped to buyers. So this is how the modern deep water oil production works. So, but here's an angle, probably the article does not tell you about. Now, the final investment decision on Mopane is not just about saying yes, we will produce oil. So it's not just about that. So, you know, this is, it's a multi-billion dollar commitment, okay? Remember, there's multi-billion dollar commitment. Now, this project costs billion of US dollar to build. And major company involved have to be convinced. They have to be convinced that the price of oil in the future. So when they now committing their money, the price of oil in the future will justify every dollar they spend today. If they don't see that, well, they may not commit. The decision, the final decision might not be, yes, we will continue, we will produce oil. So that is the conversation happening now. That conversation, it doesn't happen here. You know, it doesn't happen in Windhoek. That's a conversation happening in boardroom somewhere, in Paris, in Lisbon, in Doha, you know, not in Windhoek. And that, my friend, should make us a little nervous. Okay? You could be confident, but, you know, that should also make us a little nervous. What I'm saying is that, so they have, these are multi-billion companies, or it's a multi-billion commitment. So they have to be convinced. They gotta be convinced. So, yeah. There's much hope, but there must just a little, some little nervousness, okay? Because that doesn't depend on us. All right, and then we have let's get to Venus. Venus is very interesting. This one, my dear listeners, is truly breathtaking in its numbers, you know, when we see the numbers. I love the numbers. I keep telling you that. Now, the Venus block sit around 290 kilometers off Lydris in water, roughly 3 kilometers deep as well. So Total Energy is the operator, holding 40%, all right, holding 40%, with Qatar Energy holding 30%, that's 70 already, Impact Oil and Gas at 90%, 20%, that 90, and Namco, oh my dear, and Namco 10%. Well, we got 10%. Well, it's better than nothing. Eh? President de Hago Gualumbra, which are Nimaka Shieni. Eh? So, it's not yours. So, 90% belongs to, you know, to the foreign, major companies. All right? So, but we have 10%. So, it's estimated, recoverable resources, around 5.1 billion barrels. And to develop it, plans, call for a massive, you know, floating, you know, productions, you know, that, that floating production, what? Production storage and offloading vessels that that FPSO that can produce around here, this one can produce around 150,000 barrel of oil per day at peak, you know, at peak, that's how much that it can produce. So how much that is, you know, those who are in oil sectors understand that kucho mambaba we figepen, you know. Yeah, the development cost, it's between, you know, 6 and 8 billion, you know, between 6 and 8 billion. And when you look at that, that's maybe you're thinking, okay, there must be some kind of rounding error somewhere. No. That's a nation deafening, you know, investment, really. Now, and what does the Venus mean for Namibia's economy? What does it mean for our economy? And listen carefully to these numbers. Okay. Now, according to the draft environment and social impact assessment, Venus could contribute up to 18% of Namibia's GDP during its peak production years. So over 25 years, the project could actually inject between US dollar, this is US dollar, 25 billion and 46 billion into our economy. Well, government revenues from taxes and from royalties alone is projected at between 127 to 229 billion Namibian dollar. So, you see, this is something that, as I said, when you're talking about beef and fishing and diamonds and all, they are good things. This is a transformative thing. You understand? It is transformative. Just think about those numbers. Just think about those numbers. Okay? Now, the Total Energies has indicated production costs could come in below. It could come in below $20 per barrel. Now, which would make actually Venice one of the most competitive deep water projects anywhere on the planet. So, first oil is now expected between late 2029 and early 2030, okay? So once you're used to 2020, so you just get used to it. Yeah. So we're expecting that, if all goes well, if the final decision, if the final investment decision is a yes, so we expected that the first oil is expected between, 2029 and early 2030. So within 5 years already, 4 to 5 years, we will be able to see, you know, the oil, if the FID, if the final investment decision is made this year. Okay, let's hope. Well, tutulenyomo, akwetava mu, mwafikapona apu, punkulungulu. You know, put your hands together and start. Okay? So, but we also, this is also an opportunity, but we're also looking at this, that something like this that haven't happened. It's never, when was last time Namibia had an opportunity like this? Eh? It's a really, really, really an opportunity. So, yeah, it's, one is something to be excited about, but there are also challenges. There are also issues that we probably should be looking at. There are some critical aspect. Probably the article didn't go into it. So, yeah, like the first thing, like jobs, okay? The article it talks about billions of barrel and massive, you know, FPSOs, but say almost nothing about jobs for ordinary Namibians, okay? Now, the environmental impact assessment for Venice project around 5,000. Now, 5,000 jobs during the drilling and installation phase, and 7,000 during the production. You know, so now that sounds good. That sounds good. But until you remember, okay, we talk about 5,000 during the drilling and installation phase, and then 7,000 during production. As I said, that really sounds good. Until you remember, Namibia's unemployment rate stood at 36.9 in 2023. So in a country of 3 million people, 12,000 oil-related job, I don't think that would move a needle. I don't think that would move a needle on its own, okay? In a context, in a bigger picture, yes. But on its own, it doesn't really. For 12,000 oil-related jobs? All right. Now, the MIF, the IMF, not, why do I always say the MIF? So the IMF has already warned that Namibia's oil boom may not significantly actually reduce unemployment or inequality unless, and this is their warning, unless there is a deliberate policy action. unless there's a deliberate policy actions. So this boom, this oil boom, may not actually significantly reduce unemployment and inequality. So we could become an oil nation and still have 2 in 5 Namibian without work. So we could still have actually, you know, many Namibian without jobs. So the second thing is the local content. The article quote the CEO of Africa Provider Offshore Service, Veronique Herman. Veronique Herman, who makes a critical point. She actually makes a critical point. Foreign company must play by the rules, she said. They must pay taxes. They must respect our labor laws. And she's right. She's right. We see this in many other African countries where these majors don't follow the rules. You know, they don't follow the rules. They don't follow the policies. Recently, there was a story in DRC where one of the Chinese companies has been, you know, accused of some things, you know. So, yeah. And she's right, you know. And Namibia published a draft. We published a draft national upstream petroleum local content policy as recently as March, actually, 2025. So we have that national upstream petroleum local content policy. But analysts have described enforcement as weak. Okay, enforcement. And that's a problem in Namibia. Enforcement of policies, of rules, of whatever, is very weak. And something we were discussing last week as well. Very, very, very weak. If we can't enforce the rule on paper, what good are they? If you can't force them, what good are they? You can have all the rules you want, but if you cannot enforce them, they're useless. Yeah? So I think that's something that we need to sort out that. It could be a lack of capacity, could be a lack of competent personnel, really. When I say competent personnel, those who are in the job, there could be other people that are competent out there that are not actually hired. So we need to look at that. Maybe we sometime in strategic positions. And I said sometime our political system actually is putting us way back. It's pushing us way, way back. Because sometimes we decided, okay, if we have somebody, this person there in this strategic position politically, that would be in our favor. But the person is not competent, is not qualified. So I think we need to look at that as well. Political part, we need to look at that. You know, who do we put there? And whoever we put there should be competent enough. Not just, okay, Comrade Sohez hasn't got a job. We didn't find something for him. All right, let's make him the public relation. What the public? No, if I mention that, I might point out who I'm referring to. All right, so that should be not the case, okay? The other third thing is the article didn't get into is the resource curse. So the resource curse, every serious economist studying Africa oil will tell you this, that oil has been a curse for more countries than it has been a blessing. So Nigeria, Angola, Equatorial Guinea, you know, countries that discovered oil and watch inequality deepen, while you have some, you know, chefies that they call chefy, you know, while you have the elites and foreign companies actually pocketing the wealth, you know, pocketed the wealth. So, and the Bank of Namibia governor has himself warned about the risk of Dutch disease. So where oil money flood the economy, it drives up costs and slowly suffocate every other sector. So from farming to tourism to manufacturing. So, yeah, that risk of Dutch disease, it's very, very, very important. And fourthly, the other thing also maybe we need to look at is the Welwitschia Fund. So Namibia have established a sovereign wealth fund in 2022 called the Welwitschia Fund, specifically to save and invest future oil revenues, you know, for the long term. That's the idea. So for the long, it's similar to what Norway have done and Botswana have done with diamonds, so not with oil. So yeah, something like that. So end of late 2025, it's about 479 million, I think. Yeah, 479 million. That's a good start. I mean, it's a good start. But it's still a very small amount compared to, you know, to billions of dollars that could come in later. Okay? So now the real question now is, how will the fund grow bigger? Okay? How will the fund grow bigger? Who will manage it? And who will make sure the people managing it are doing the right thing? It's very important to know. So where does that fall actually? Who is managing it, and how do we make sure? Is it is falling under the finance ministry, minister, or, you know, and who will make sure that people now who are managing it are doing the right thing? So now, this is exciting, okay? This is really exciting. The excitement is real. The numbers are good when you look at those numbers. The numbers are really good, but excitement without, I think without preparation, you know, is just gambling. Eh? Think about Lüderitz, okay? A town that has struggled for decades. You know, Rhino Resources alone is already spending 70 million every month during its drilling operations, benefiting local businesses for accommodation, fuel, logistics, and marine services. So think Walvis Bay. Walvis Bay is buzzing, you know? That is real. That's really real. Tangible money flowing into community right now, before a single barrel has been commercially produced. So that's according to RD Namibia Energy Consultants report, that this, via this article that we're looking at. Now imagine 2030. Venus producing 150,000 barrels of oil per day. Mopane in full development. Government receiving billion in taxes. What happened to that money? Does it build schools in Kavango? Does it fix hospitals in Hangwena? Or does it, it could be, as we're talking about the Dutch disease, or does it just disappear into consultancy fees and procurement scandals? Yeah. Well, the answer really depends on what we do between now and then. It depends on what we are doing now and then. It depends on local content rules that are actually enforced. That are actually enforced. It depends on a sovereign wealth fund that is protected from political interference. And it depends on institutions that are strong, transparent, and accountable. And accountable. We have seen what NAMCOR have done, and where some of the management are at this point in time. So it's very important. As economist Dr. John Stadler, the other time when I interviewed him, has argued, you know, and I want to paraphrase him here. So oil wealth alone, okay, does not guarantee prosperity. That's what he said. Does not guarantee prosperity. oil is a tool. It should be a tool. In wise hand, he said, if it's in wise hand, it builds nation. Okay? In careless hand, maybe that's why, you know, the president want to have this in her hand. So in careless hand, it destroys them. It absolutely destroyed them. So, yeah. What do you think? So what do you think? I want to hear from you as well. So I wonder, what's your reaction on that? So our telephone number is 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. So, oil and gas, what is your take? 08-333-66-091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha, utekiro kaguna, I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sanana na longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo, ota ingongo tisamwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandi soma yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimeneha uu kakombanga.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, man. And yourself?
I'm okay, that's Mike.
How was your weekend?
The weekend was lovely.
You know what David Yobo used to say?
Yeah.
So he said, don't touch us. Don't touch other people's people.
Other people. Yeah. Wait, it's true.
I hope you haven't touched other people's people.
No, we've been cool. We even went to watch Chura Chura.
Where was the game? Where was the game actually?
I only checked for in window, UNAM.
Oh, it was at UNAM. They were playing away. They were playing away, ne?
Yeah, they are playing away, but they draw anyway. It was good this, even though.
How many games left, actually, we could after they could win the league?
Yes, me too, I'm not sure. But I'm sure there are not a lot.
There are still a lot?
No, I'm saying there are not a lot.
I think they played about 25.
If there are 25 games. 16, we are having what? I think it's 16 or 18 team, I know. Yeah. Because if you just divide it by two, then to give it the actual amount, how many games are left?
Yeah,
I don't know if they are 16 team or they are 18. I'm not so sure.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. No, but let's hope. Let's really hope that, you know, someone take a league this time.
I wanted to release Chulachula to take it this year because now it's become like a culture for African star.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, somewhere
okay,
else.
Anyway, yeah, let's go back to the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that mega you seen, yeah? Oh, it's what always they are saying, the gun are not problem, the problem is people.
Yeah.
These are the same with oil.
Yeah, definitely.
If oil is in the good hand, people like Qatar, Saudi Arabia, we know what they done with Danish to the Dodos nation. But comparing to our neighbor even in here in Angola, you can see that's in a mess. Only people, certain people are eating. Especially, I think, our suffering, especially the Kwanyama side, they are not benefiting out of it. So
it's not only them. It's probably you just haven't been on the other side of Cabinda and whatever. So yeah, there are still a lot of people suffering.
Yeah, it's true, man. There are still a lot.
Yeah.
But especially in the suffering Angola, it's a mess there, comparing to other side. But the thing is that when you look at Namibia, we supposed to position ourselves already.
Yeah.
With what is coming. Because what I'm saying, so we have even anti-corruption here, who are toothless. Now, it's it's a hard time we suffer to build and develop to the people who can trust. Because we have a capable people who believe in the witness of Fish Lot and the witness of Fish Lot.
But what do we, you know, this is something sometimes we have to look at seriously. But what do we prepare? Yeah. Let's say, for example, how do we prepare ourselves, even infrastructure-wise, when 90% of these resources, it doesn't belong to us?
Just imagine.
90% of these resources, it doesn't belong to us. So, yeah. Well, we are on the table, we are on the table, but the people that have 90% would decide who will be coming in to manage, you know, to manage the kind of people, the personnel they want, the kind of facilities they want, you know. Yeah, we're on the table just to hear what is happening, but we really don't have any power to decide.
That's the problem where we find ourselves in. Is what I'm saying, you cannot tell us our own resource, but you are giving us 10%. Seriously. And you as a director or a CEO or a minister, you're saying it's a win-win situation. Where did you win? Just imagine 10% and the other people are having 90% in your own resource. Why don't you put your foot that, no, take it or leave it, 50-50. Whether I have an expert, I don't have an expert. Whether I have equipment, I don't have equipment. Whether I have resources like money, a fund to fund so I can meet you far away. No, as long as it's in my country.
But there are also, there are also other issues that one have to look at. Now, the green transition. The green energy transition.
It will not materialize, my friend. You never get to run out of oil.
One have to, you know, it's one have to think of that as well. Technology goes very quickly. So it's I'm just giving another example of diamond. You know, we never knew that there would be, you know,
fake diamond.
Which are made from
laboratory.
So,
but the thing is, okay, Mike, let me take you back.
Yeah.
Since when they discovered the cars, it's in 1918 something. We've been using oil. And how many they tried to get rid of oil? Even sometimes that they even make a car. I think it was a car white made for consumption of water, and actually it never materialized.
Yeah.
And now you are talking about phasing out the oil. You know how many Americans in their reserves when it comes to oil?
Yeah.
Do you think they will get right now? And remember one thing, a lot of people, they think American when going around the world trying to convince everybody that, no, guys, the oil, We don't have enough oil. America, a lot of refineries in their country.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, even if you look at one of the musicians, even like Batman is having a refinery in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. But mostly, we think Americans don't have oil when they are going even to Venezuela, Libya, you name it.
When you're looking at that, you know, without really, because it's still oil. When you're looking deeply at that, sometimes people think, and I could be, you know, my perspective could be wrong. Some people are looking at America is going after the interests of China and Russia. You understand?
Exactly. Yeah.
So he actually going after the interests of China and Russia, you know. So Venezuela and the Middle East here now, Iran, you know. So let's quickly have
Russia and China
for commercial quickly. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I have a business idea, but I need help to get it started.
My dear, I have the perfect solution for you. Look no further than the Basecamp Business Incubator.
Basecamp Business Incubator? What's that?
The Basecamp Business Incubator is a startup incubator and innovation hub on a mission to educate, equip, and empower visionary entrepreneurs. Tune into the business and economics segment every Monday live on Eagle FM from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to hear about the testimonies from the young entrepreneurs that have walked through the hallways of the Basecamp Business Incubator. Visit www.basecamphub.com for more information and start your business journey now.
All right.
Yeah, Dr. Mike.
Yeah.
The thing is that when you look at the why Americans are going like rampant, getting war and then this, and making a situation to be bad. It's because their money was going down. And remember, before they introduced what, BRICS.
Yeah.
For you, not to lose, remember, this is not all about to, like, they having a bad leader or whatever, like in Venezuela. No, these Americans were trying to watch. To focus even their money, which was going down.
Yeah.
Remember, it's all about the economy. It's all about the survival.
Exactly.
Only in Africa, we don't do that.
Yeah.
We are not. And remember, all of us, we only have one planet.
But we're not, in honest, something that we don't want to admit, is that we're not playing on the same, playing level field, you know?
No.
Yeah.
Remember
we are
one
not.
Thing that it, Remember one thing that when Americans are going to fight, they don't fight for because of Trump interest. No, they go for the country.
Of course. Yeah.
Even a poor person who is going to benefit out of that. But in Africa, we do it the way around. That's why it's very easy to in Africa to create chaos.
It's actually to be bought.
Because certain people who are benefiting.
It's easy to be bought. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and we never
captured.
Learn a lesson when it comes to fish lot. Mm. Just imagine a minister asking a iPhone with two SIM cards. A girl and
maybe Dimbra.
No. We are to Dimbra. What you are. Forgive them, but don't forget.
No, maybe Dimbra.
That's what Dimbra, my bro, tell her. If I'm ready, they lost their income. Some of them are dead.
Yeah.
Some of the wife, they divorce. Some of the kids, they even drop out of school. Just imagine, because of the certain 10 people who are in jail now. I think when you are talking about us to have a stronger, institution.
Yeah.
Yeah, like ICC, like ombudsman, you name it, one of them can control. But the thing is that the problem when you see these people who are learning the institution, they don't have a good credibility.
Yeah.
Because we have a lot of example. I can give you the corruption which happened, but never even been investigating, like the one in Diamond Road.
I mean,
now, we don't know what is, how far they are with.
So you're going far. There's always the director, the auditor general's report of how money has been mismanaged by the councils and you don't even hear anything.
Exactly.
You don't even anybody has been arrested.
Sangwazi is doing the job of ICC. Sangwazi is doing the job of ICC. That's why he's saying no more to sell the land here. Just imagine you service the land and I'll give it to the banks. Yeah? The bank was the one who was selling it. From maybe 200, it used to be 200 for 11. Now you are making 1.5 11. How many of us we are able to, even my whole pension will not reach that target.
Yeah.
Now you are asking me to buy a property for that. That's what I'm saying. In Namibia, only that because of our mindset of our people. The system itself is corrupt. Just imagine.
We never change the
but
system
if you
to
put,
suit.
If you just educate the young people, because now they are comfortable where they are lending because the salary which they are getting is okay. But at the end of the day, you don't have anything to stand on your own. Just imagine if you lose that job now. Yeah? That's what I'm saying. Half of the population were what? Homeless. But when you see homeless, only thinking of about the kids who are sleeping under the bridge.
Yeah, it's like the point. The point was actually making that point is that look, we now we now want to build. We now want to to educate the youth, and we then rightly maybe educate them, but there's no opportunity for them.
Exactly.
Even on top of that.
On top of that, you know what makes me sad. My friend, you pay a lot of thousand and hundred thousand in my education. But when I'm done, you leave it to me to go to street. You don't want, you invest in me, but why you cannot invest in me also when I'm in the street? So I can do thing which I study. So then I employ others. There's nothing like that. There's no platform like that, my friend.
Yeah.
It's what I'm telling you now. It's a waste of money, a waste of resource, waste of our time. Waste of our kid time also. It doesn't make sense. Just imagine how many people make it without going to college or whatever, or even finish grade 12.
Yeah, well, that's a different story for another day.
Yeah, for another day. Yeah, but seriously, when it comes to oil, we need to put up, we need already to start investing in what a strong institution. So wherever everything can happen now about oil, we are there. We know exactly what are we doing, what are our outcome, what are we going to focus for it. Because remember one thing now. How many countries, like now we are talking about Angola. At least Angola, you can see the other side, they are doing better. Because their population also, they are a lot. And the literature in Angola is out of the roof.
Hmm.
Because if you are educated in Angola, you can make it. I'm telling you. But the problem is only that mostly, are living in the what? In the village, and the villages are cut out of what? But at least they are investing. Investing in like electricity. That's why we are thinking of like going to Angola to get electricity.
Yeah.
Oil is also there. It's available for their own people. They are, even the food in to buy in Angola is not that expensive like the way we are.
But getting electricity from Angola is, I mean, it's not that, it's, look at Eskom, you know, you can still actually shed loading in South Africa, but Eskom still sell, you know, energy to Namibia.
It's what I'm saying. We need to start investing in ourselves.
Yeah.
Because NAMPOWER is there, but I don't know what NAMPOWER is, what amended for it, them. So for them maybe to look around, ESCOM, go to Zimbabwe, go to Zambia. It's like a kind of, because we never see up to now how many they plan, they come up with plan of them, their own. What kind of solar energy they invest in? What kind of power, wind power they invest? Up to now, they are running around. Last time we are in Zimbabwe and Zambia, so they cut us off. Now we are talking about Angola. What about our starting to invest? Because that money which we are giving away is a lot of money.
All right,
about to invest in yours.
Yeah.
Because now we are talking about oil. Now, everything you need electricity.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Those are issues that sometimes we don't go into, you know? Electricity. All right. Thanks for coming through.
All right, my brother.
And have a great day. Yeah.
A very good morning to you. Good morning. This is Unpacking the Day. And you're most welcome to come through and have your opinion on the topic we're talking about. So 2026 is the year of decision. It's a year of decision, the final investment decision on Mopane. And Venus will either set us on the path to becoming a significant oil producer by 2030, or push that horizon further away. Now, these decisions are being made, and of course, they are being made in a foreign boardrooms. And we should be watching closely. So we should be really watching closely. So, yeah. So, but we are hopeful. The numbers are genuinely exciting. Venus alone could contribute 18% of GDP, at its peak and deliver 25 to 46 billion to the economy over 25 years. That's exciting. You know, as I said, the number is exciting. Now, combined with Mopane, Namibia could potentially double
you know, double its GDP within a decade. Okay? So that's according to African Mining Market. So, yeah. So the article is quite optimistic. It's quite optimistic. As I said, make sure that you read the article in today's edition of the Villager. It's a front page headline. So, yeah, the article is too optimistic. It does not warn us loudly enough about the resource curse. Okay? A weak local content enforcement. Those are some of the issues. The jobs gap, you know, the government risks. So these are not small, you know, these are not small footnotes. Okay? They are the difference between Namibia becoming Norway or Namibia becoming Nigeria. So we need to pay attention to those, to some of those, you know, some of those stuff, some of those aspects. And NAMCOR, NAMCOR's role is critical. You know, we know NAMCOR. And sometimes, you know, the reputation of this institution precedes them. So our national oil company holds equity stakes in both Venus and Mopane. Its decision and its integrity, you know, will shape how much of this wealth stays in Namibia's hands. Okay, so and every Namibian has a role to play. So we have each one of us has a role to play. Possibly I'm playing mine. We are playing ours here. All right? We are playing ours here. But the other thing is really playing your role by demanding accountability. Demand accountability. Supporting. Also demand the support of local businesses. Okay? Because they could be sidelined. And the building capacity that Mandume is talking about. When we have the capacity, only we can be able to be involved, you know, and when we can be able to be on the table and more speak more the same language. So, yeah, demand accountability, demand support for local businesses, hold our leaders to their promises. Yeah? We should hold them to their promises. Insist that oil revenue funds real development. Okay, we want to see that because we don't see it with many other, you know, with many other resources, with other minerals and resources. So let's insist that oil revenue funds a real development, not just flashy government reports, you know. The oil is offshore. Decisions are in 2026. But the future, that belongs to you. That honestly belongs to you. All right, what is your take? 08333-66091. 08333-66091. We're talking about the final investment decisions that will be made this year, which will definitely, you know, transform our economy completely if that comes. All right. So there's much hope. There's much hope. Then despair. Okay. But don't be shocked. You know, because this is, it's a commitment that involves multi-billion dollars. It's not made lightly. So these are not decisions made lightly. So yeah, we gotta be prepared as well if it goes. And what is the alternative? Okay. What if it's the alternative? It's, you know, that's also the whole question of diversification that we hear so much, which we don't see in practice. All right. 081. 08333-66091. What is your take? You are most welcome to air your your opinion and your, what is that? Your contribution to the show.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekiro kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayaguro nirandi toma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende kuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konaraje tatu imwe. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, a very good morning to you. If you're just joining us and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day here on Eagle FM. All right. You are most welcome to come through and air your opinion, your take on our first stories. 0833-66091. But otherwise, we move on. We have another interesting one. Okay. We can look at another story, in today's edition of The Villager. So, and this time it's, you know, it's electricity and specifically why it costs so much. What our regulators are planning to do about it. Okay. So it costs so much. And then now our regulators are trying to do something. So this is a story, you can read it in today's edition of the Villager, story by David Shombe and, Menwa Valley Hangala, David Shombe from the Early Morning Scoop. All right. So, yeah, let's look at this. Let's also give a context to this, so that we really know what we're looking at. Now, Namibia has, in Southern Africa, according to the International Agency, Energy Agency, on the Renewable Energy Opportunity for Namibia report of 2024, Namibia has the highest electricity price in Southern Africa. Excuse me. We have the highest electricity price in Southern Africa. Yes, that's very, very, very true. According to that report, the highest. Now, according to the International Agency, Energy Agency, our electricity tariff exceed those of our neighbors, including South Africa, Botswana, and Zambia. Now, well, this is not a new problem. I think this is not a new problem. For years, we have been importing between 40 to 60% of our power. And that imported electricity comes at a premium. It comes at a cost. So actually, in fact, between January 2024 and December 2025, Namibia spent an estimated 6.8 billion Namibian dollar on import power. Okay, let's hear what the caller has to say.
Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Dr. Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
Oh,
you're
going to
go to the
house? Oh,
Yeah,
no, there was a moment, I think the app was a bit silent. I'm not too sure. On some Android phone. So hopefully that's come back. So come to the day, go epa.
Yeah,
tango.
Okay. What is happening?
Now we were talking about the decisions, the final decision that we are waiting in 2026 from the company, from the major oil companies that are investing in Mopane and Venus. So kind of like looking at that would either transform Namibia's economic future. And and as Namibian, there are a lot of things that we need to prepare ourselves, you know, to be able to have a meaningful contribution to this transformations. But as much as we are hopeful, you know, we are waiting for those decisions, and it's not really up to us now. We're waiting, and hopefully that it will change our economic future.
I don't have any knowledge. I have not listened. I didn't. So yeah. Maybe let's hope it will give us a better positive side.
Yeah, no, man. It's good. It's good that you mentioned that, to know that just to let our technical people to address that, okay?
No, it's okay, Dr. Mike. Let's wait and see how it will go.
Okay, no, good.
God bless.
All right. All right. We noticed that this morning. So we will definitely attend to that. All right. So as I said, the report, the Renewable Energy Opportunity for Namibia report of 2024 indicated, in fact, between January 2024 and December 2025, Namibia spent an estimate of 6.8 billion Namibian dollar on imported power. So when you think about that money, 6.8 billion, just between January 2024 to December 2025. So that is money leaving our economy. It's money leaving our economy, money that could be building our own infrastructure for that matter, and creating our own jobs that we desperately, desperately need, you know? So, yeah. Now here's the story, okay? The Electricity Control Board, our national regulator, just launched integrated strategic business plan for 2026 to 2031. So yeah, the integrated strategic business plan from 2026 to 2031. Now at the launch, the ECB chief executive officer Robert Kahimise didn't beat around the bush. He really didn't beat around the bush. He called for urgent intervention. Now, he pointed out, to energy diversification as critical solution to our electricity crisis. You know, you see that favorite word, diversification? Everybody mentioned about it, you know. But does this intervention really has to do with, what does it really have to do with you and me, really? You know, right now, Namibia domestic electricity demand, fluctuate between 290,000 and 340,000 megawatt per hour every month. It fluctuates between them. That is what
households, business, mines, government institutions consume. That's what we consume as a country. But here's the problem. Our local generation has not surpassed 290,000 megawatt per hour since 2020. Never, it has never surpassed that amount of megawatt. So we are simply not producing enough. We are simply not producing enough of electricity. And why is that? Our main power station, the Rakana Hydro, Rakana Hydro, depends entirely on water from the Kunene River. Now, that river originates in southern Angola. When the rain season is good up there, you know, Rakana runs at a full capacity when it's good. But when dry hits, when there is drought that year, when the rain failed, for example, Rakana slowed down. And in December 2025, Rakana generated about 167,547 megawatt per hour. And that amount accounting for 78% of local generations. So that is, how would I say, a lot of eggs in one basket. Okay? A lot of egg in one basket. But that basket is at the mercy of a weather pattern in another country. You see that? That's the problem. You know, that basket, it's really at the mercy of the weather pattern in another country, not in Namibia. So, we are at that mercy. Now, maybe let me ask you something. Electricity has become so expensive, really. Okay, how many of you have noticed your electricity bill creeping up over the past few years? Imagine how many unit $100 would give you, and how much it will give you now. It's slowly by slowly just creeping up. Yeah? It's really, really, really becoming extremely expensive. So what is your story? Your story matter. It matters because this conversation is not about policy. It's not just about policy. It's about your life. It's honestly about our lives. So, yeah, and I don't know, you know, maybe something that we have no choice, isn't it? It feels like us, we have no choice. As consumers, we kind of like we have no choice, you know. But let me take you deeper into this story, okay? Let me get you deeper into the story itself. Now, the CEO of the ECB pointed out something critical. Higher electricity costs, he said, are largely a result of importing 40 to 60% of our electricity. That's what he said. That's what the articles mentioned. So, we are buying power from other countries at the price they set. You understand? Prices that include their, you know, of course, their profit margins, their infrastructure costs, and their own economic pressures. They are also going through under some, you know, economic pressures. So those we are paying for all of that. Now, in December 2025, Namibia imported 201,024 megawatt per hour of electricity. Well, South Africa Eskom supplied 55% of those imports. Zimbabwe contributed as well. Zimbabwe contributed about 21%. And Zambia provided 18%. Okay, those are countries that we import electricity from. So, and according to recent data from Eskom, Namibia spent, we spent over 1.5 billion on power import from South Africa alone. So in the past financial year, 1.5 billion imports from South Africa. That's over $1 billion flowing across our neighbors just for electricity. Just for electricity. So, and now, and when we talk about now development, like I think Mandume said, I mean, we cannot develop without, how do you talk about manufacturing? How do you talk about, you know, factories and all that without electricity? And we have already issue with them, with green schemes. Green schemes who have been complaining, saying they can't really produce to the level they want because of electricity. So, if we want to develop, if we want really to grow our economy, that's one thing that we need to address. 1.5 billion just in the past financial year, import from South Africa of electricity, of power. So now, but here's also where it's getting interesting also, you know. The ECB CEO said something that should give us, you know, give us some hope. And I'm saying hope, okay? He said, if we can displace those expensive imports with local generation, and when I say if we can do that, if we were able to do, why didn't we do it? So he said that if we can displace those expensive imports with local generation, if we can deal with the intermittency of renewable energy, we will gradually bring down costs. Well, is that simple? Is it that simple? And why haven't we done it if it's that simple? He mentioned multi-year pricing as a tool. You know, multi-year pricing as a tool to bring now predictability to the, you know, to the sector. Well, that might be promising. That might be something. That might be promising. But I think let's look at that more. Let's look at it more at length. You know, now, I think we have an exciting story in Namibia. Okay? In Namibia, we're really, really having an exciting story. Namibia has something most countries will kill for. Yeah? We have something most countries will kill for. We have the sunshine. A lot of it. We have the sunshine, a lot and a lot of it. Now, the International Business Review report that solar photovoltaic system in Namibia can generate twice the electricity of comparable system in Central Europe. Twice the electricity, comparable to a system in Central Europe. Twice. We are sitting on a gold mine of solar potential. Yet we continue actually to import power. One thing about it was even just over the weekend, not over the weekend, it was Friday and Sunday. It was Friday when we are thinking, okay, we at home, me and my wife think, okay, summer is coming. Why can't we have a solar geyser? I think it would save some electricity. So, and I went to look for a quotation. And it's between, that quotation is between 25,000 Namibian dollar. And then I thought, wow. In my mind, really, I thought, okay, if it's really, really expensive, it should be about, you know, 10 to 15. Yeah, around there. If it's really, you know, 10 to 15,000, but it was 22 to 25,000. That's just now the product itself, the geyser and all the stuff that you need, you know, the panel and all that. And you still have actually to have someone who's going to be installing it in. So, and that's going to come around, you know, probably it's come around 30 or 30 something. And then you realize, okay, in the long run, you know, it will be expensive, really expensive to install it. Well, in the long run, it's going to save you, but I realized that no wonder why people actually don't go much for solar energy, you know, facilities. Extremely expensive. Really expensive. As I said, in the long run, it's gonna save you money. It's gonna save you that amount of money that you're spending now. But who have that money stuck somewhere? We have that amount of money stuck somewhere, you know? Yeah, so now you think, okay, in the meantime, I rather pay more in terms of electricity than spending that amount of money, you know? So, yeah, I'm just bringing it in just to think that how, as I'm saying that we are sitting on a gold mine, of solar potential, but the more we produce that, the cheaper this could become. Yeah? So if we are producing that here, the reason why it's more expensive is that we're not producing it here. And according to the International Renewable Energy Agency, Namibia had about 507 megawatt of installed solar capacity by 2024. Up from 432 megawatt in 2023. So still nothing more yet.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, sorry that the mega to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like I touched you before our first what? Item.
Yeah, yeah.
About the regression. You know, Micah, the problem is, I think, when it comes to Solani, is that the problem also is not reliable when where we are sourcing.
Yeah.
Because some of the panel are fake, very, very fake. Especially the one which you are buying, Kokonima Sandumbara.
Yeah.
I bought one now, because even recently I bought even the battery, and the battery is very, very, very expensive. But the problem, those batteries, they don't last longer.
They don't. I remember I had at one of my place, far away. It's a lot. It's a big batteries.
Yeah.
It take up space.
Exactly.
they really don't last no, longer.
They don't last longer at all.
If you have a number of bulbs, imagine it's just bulbs.
Yeah.
You didn't just put bulb, on yeah. put on anything. And
the moment
and,
you put a TV, the TV is going.
Yeah, it won't last.
It won't last at all.
Yeah.
That's the problem we're opting to have electricity. Like in our location at least, if they are able to come up with electricity, we as a people can buy even our own what? Yeah, metal box.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can even, as long as they can put in, then we source ourselves. Because I'm sure nobody want to not having electricity. And then remember one thing that I think people also need to be educated when it comes to gas, of cooking. My friend, I'm telling you, only the poor people who like to have I mean, to use expensive things the way we do it. Yeah. I'm telling you, I installed like a, I think three or four house in the house brick. The gas stove.
Yeah,
they are using gas. But you come to a place like what Komazdal and whatever. The Giza of in your YouTube, you know, Biri Harashona?
Yeah.
The problem only that it does, yeah.
But you still have to buy a number of,
things. Yeah, there is.
Which almost going to come up to the same price anyway.
The thing is that I don't know why a lot of people are just opting to use electricity. Especially with stove, and iron. Ngeto iron ngango. Or problem and I. Those things I use a lot of electricity.
They do.
And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why even we are not opting for cooking with a gas stove.
Yeah, and like in my house, we have a gas stove. Yeah.
So,
but because also the electricity is it's irregular also sometimes. At least nandenge na rushedo la wako. That doesn't, you can still cook.
It will not affect anything.
Yeah. So, and it saves you a lot of electricity. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But for me, the thing is that, guys, it's a hard time to ask Nampo Akocha. I know, guys, after independence, what you guys did. Sasi, nandeke nge natu po piku cha angashike nando location na lake Goliya Hub. Goliya Hub, leto kutu nimbo yeko bayama sa wende. Opo, oike di providing oro kisi mwiko. O sasi, tolo mwere kutu cha, we don't have expert. Kita graduating every day. They are there. Ina, Obama sinipumbwa ini miyapu.
Yeah.
Just very, very simple, like, you know, outskirts of Winduka. Wote isa prana location, atonga se Goliya Hub, ne havan. Malo shili, I don't know kuta namu wata shili. Sa singasi Obama sa otejike me wester detu.
Me wester, exactly.
Sura about west. Yeah. No, now vimo trombo yengi kuta o tapunga ali tu technician at edike India nenge somebody must come from America.
And that also shows that, you know, you are not strategic in your planning. You know,
not at all.
Because you're looking at, if you know exactly where you're going, you would actually know what you need to get there.
Mike, if I'm getting my salary, do you think that it's paying me to pay 1. What something billion to South Africa? Eskom. Does it pay?
Yeah, but it's stupid because you don't know. Some people don't think far. You know, like what the problem that we have now in the Middle East. You understand? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So anything can happen to South Africa.
Can happen.
South Africa.
Not even the chaos. I just say a leadership. Somebody can come there like Malema.
Yeah.
Then Malema will tell you, no? My friend, we are province of South Africa.
Yeah. So we really don't think hard, far than our stomach, and I think that's some people call it the politic of belly, politics or something. We don't think far from our stomach.
The most people who are even in the British, it's not here. Or gentlemen, How does he feel? Or is still here wishing?
Yeah.
You know, no money, I'm focused on wishing. I go, how they used to survive. I don't want to repeat that mistake.
Yeah.
Exactly. Malaba, we talk about your manga. Yeah. Woman. They don't know. That's why they don't care. Because I do not wear away. Boy, take no good. That's why in my day, I go, oh, I saw nothing. I get no mat. I mentioned you got joke. I lose your mouth. Obviously, you go joke. Yeah. In my own.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mike, okay, let me, maybe somebody will come through again. Huh?
All right, no, that's all right.
Mm. Okay, sharp.
Okay, great.
OA 333-66091. OA 333-66091. Yeah. So, yeah, we as I said, there are a few progress, but those progress is not enough. This progress is not enough. The World Bank's National Energy Compact for Namibia set an ambition target. We want to increase the share of renewable energy in our generation mix from the current 54% to 70% by 2030. So by 2030, and as you can see, how far we are in terms of that, it's we are absolutely very far. All right, the IEA report from November 2024 reveals something amazing. Okay, a recent auction prices for solar PV and wind in Namibia were nearly 80% and 65% lower, respectively. Now, then the retail price that mines currently pay. So we could be generating actually power at the fraction of what we are paying for imported electricity. So we could. So we just need to actually explore more. Now, but let us not forget the other side of the coin. Okay? Let's not forget the other side of the coin. It's not just about generating power. It's not just about generating power. It's about who gets to use it. So who gets to use this? The Minister of Industry, Mine and Energy, Modeste Amse, spoke at the same ECB launch. And he highlighted a critical goal. Namibia aims to achieve 70% national electricity connectivity by 2030. Right now, our national electrification rate stands at approximately 50%. So, as you can see, there's still a long, long, long way to go. And, you know, he said it's possible, it can be done, and it can be done. All you need, so anything with money is possible. Seriously, if you put money into it, it is possible. You know, but inequality in Namibia is a very real in every aspect, of many people's life. So urban areas, if we look at urban areas, have about 70% electricity access. And rural areas, only about 30% to 40% of rural households have electricity. So achieving 70% national electricity connectivity, it's got to be daunting, depending, you know, because we have much of our rural area who have no electricity, have no access to electricity. 30% or 40, around 30 to 40% of rural household, you know, that have electricity. So that means in our villages, in our remote communities, most families still rely on candles, still rely on paraffin lamps, firewood. They still rely on firewood. Now, the most important thing here to know is this. When we mention this, they are not just... So sometimes you think they are not just excluded from the from modern conveniency. It's not that, okay, it's nice to have electricity. No, they are excluded from economic opportunity. Eh? They are excluded from economic opportunity. So it's not just a convenience that, oh, they need electricity for convenience. No, 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 no. Nowadays, you know, electricity is important for economic activity. And if they don't, they are far and far, you know, you will leave them behind, you know, behind and behind all the time. Eh? So, otoningi bokanting osogo ego tompongi ge, you know, anu pol po five of anali. Geuno karusheno hamu ingofio po ponlongo nambali. Hanwamu bota dikironga taveki kosha ayatuka tukenda mumang. Gekapu no rusheno. How do they, you know, how do they come? How do we make business? So, and in June 2025. The government allocated over 140 million to accelerate national electricity connectivity. Now, the regional electricity distributors signed service level agreement, you know, to push connectivity from below 60% to that 70% target. Now, the latest agreement with Senored, I think there are some good progress, specific focusing on renewable energy. Project by, you know, by individuals, household and businesses. So, and this is actually a grassroots, you know, development, and that really matters. It does matters. So that really matters. So, and as we were talking about in terms of, you know, what also Mandume mentioned.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Those things, they will never be materialized.
Don't say never. Don't say never.
No, serious. Because
there will be some, but there will be Traore coming. There will be some Traore coming.
Traore, how will he come? He come with the family. He's not coming alone. Those companies that are making profit,
yeah,
there is a lot of fat salary out there.
Yes, true.
So
Very true.
The profit that we're supposed to be saved so that we can move on developing one another, It will not be easier. No matter how big you are importing, that money is going to the salaries.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So that is where the problem. These Namibian people, they don't know where to identify the problems. You cut costs where you can save.
I don't think we really many people see the bigger picture. For me, when I look at this, many people don't see the bigger picture, and how where they are fit into the bigger picture.
Yeah.
So all what they do is just okay. We're doing something to address like the problem. It's like someone is hungry, and instead of me thinking, okay, how do I create a provision of food for the future? But all what I'm looking is actually looking for how do I feed you now that you are angry, that you're hungry.
Yeah.
We don't have the bigger picture, seriously.
It's like a hyena. Hyena is just where you're going, getting the leftover.
Yeah.
Thing, oh,
exactly.
Today it was a survive day.
Yeah.
So most of these SOE companies, they're learning loss. There is nobody who can identify the loss.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is nobody who can say, where are we today? So on the last budget, we promised to cover maybe 5% for our plan. Where are we now? Them they are just
and we keep feeding them when they are failing.
Yeah, we keep feeding them.
Yeah.
I look at. I don't understand the areas, man. I look at the what
this road to Havana, Havana, what, Ongos, what? That road is already washed out.
Yeah.
They are already dust, not stone, dust. Ask yourself a question. And these people were already putting the stone, or it was just covered with a black thing.
Yeah.
So those are now the things, which means the money that the municipality is saving is going to repair those roads.
Yeah, and sometimes you think it's deliberate, because you think when you look at the filling up those potholes, they just put up a little something, and then when the season comes, it's exactly at the same place, doing the same things. And if you ask probably how much has cost, it's a lot of money for something that hasn't been repaired at all.
Yes, and you are telling the nation, by 2030 we will go. With what now? If you don't have the money that you were saving for that plan, you are using it up. Even if you go to the bank and ask, even if you go to Memesha Fuda and ask, she will telling you the same story that, you know, the money that we're making last year is the one that we are continuing doing with the same project for. So that is import thing. Like the electricity from Zambia, and remember now Zambia, those countries, they are also growing in industry.
Yeah.
They might end up cutting crossing for export.
Yeah.
And if you look at also in Zimbabwe, there is a lot of racism activity there, because mine are taking up a lot of electricity. And that is where the problem of this adding value to the natural, to the African natural resources, which they are always discussing about it.
Mm.
If it's flocking to some countries like Zambia, Zimbabwe, those are our neighbors, even in Botswana, we might end up not getting enough electricity from them because of that. So we need also to be prepared. And on the look of other things, we are not good with Angola, to be honest. Diplomatic, we are not really good. So what if they cut off that Kuvelai water flowing? Because now it's for them to look at that, how much money they are going to tracing, so that they can put up a hydro to power the Lobito.
Exactly.
Those are the things. Because what is matter is, if you getting clever people in your system, that is where I'm saying we will be end up cutting, because the more we talk about Ruakana, is the more the Angolans are opening their eyes. So and then
Why that's way completely depending on a resource that is in the other countries. You know, we have no control over it. Exactly.
Yeah, we have no control over it. So that is what's happening to Ethiopia, Egypt, and Sudan. Because the one who have money is the one who controlling those.
Yeah, things. Because they can control actually the inflow into that, and then when it comes to us, it's very weak.
And the problem also, we like him to participate. We don't want to be left behind.
Yeah.
EV issues, EV cars that people are talking about. Serious. If you get rid of these gasoline cars and go to EV, where are you going to get electricity?
Exactly. And we're talking about solar energy, and we don't seem to be actually investing in it.
Solar is very expensive. I was looking at it when they are talking about these components. This is semiconductor. You know, semiconductor is about 660 billion market.
You see?
But the country that are now trying to monopoly that, Japan, South Korea, now there are India is coming. India is even injecting 11 billion to creating those factories in their country. So, and also now Netherlands is coming in, Germany is also a part of that. So solar, you might end up finding it very expensive, because semiconductors are not going to the solar company.
Yeah.
They are going to EV company. And people are not looking at that picture of the NAS pictures from the space station that where are the electricity is. Africa is dark in the night. And we are talking about EVs. And here we are talking about importing 60% of your electricity.
Yeah.
Controlled by somebody. And you want to tell you, I will feed myself. How can you feed yourself with 40%?
Yeah. There was even a story that maybe probably covered tomorrow that of this desalination plant, you know, the desalination plant is owned 70% by state giant, by China state giant company, you know, and we only own about 30. We're talking about water here. You're talking about water.
You say now, that is what I'm saying. You don't play, because these people, they can even commit it breeding up. I look at what is Indonesia is trying with the nickel and DRC. They say the DRC is already out. It's already left behind because it cannot nationalize things that cobalt. Now they want to join in together with the nickel company because Indonesia is working hard into keeping those investors to putting up a factories in their country. So which means now, DRC have to take in those things to finalize, to refining it in Indonesia. So that is what I'm saying. China can set up a plant here and after 3-4 days we're telling you that no, we are running lost because of electricity.
Yeah,
we are running lost because of water.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what the whole idea. I mean, it's that they wanted actually to have their own desalinations, and they kind of like and because they are running lost because of water, the scarcity of water.
Of the pipe that we are not putting it in the development of.
Exactly.
That is what I'm. No, we need to have some. And I don't know where we're going to producing this type of people to think for us. Because the look of things, Parliament is never having anything.
Oh, yeah, no. Anyway, okay, great, man. Thanks for coming through.
You're welcome.
Great.
All right, and that, the what, the, who is that fat, is it the fat lady sings? no, not the fat lady sings. Until the fat lady sings, is what do they say? Yeah. All right. So that brings us to the end of this episode of Unpacking the Day. And I'm going to leave you in the hand of Emparangaja, who's coming up with Kuthamosha. Well, stay tuned and wish you a good listening to programs that are coming and still coming your way this morning. So it's a Monday morning, is that we are at the beginning of the week. So, well, have a good one. Have a very productive week ahead. And for me, Mike Oshoveli, well, I talk to you tomorrow. So let's do that again at the same time here on Eagle FM. So for me, Mike, it's a goodbye for now.